for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2021 Lake Hamilton Bible Camp July virtual Zoom meeting. Deborah Bales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp's director, Mary Miller. This is Saturday morning, July the 17th, 2021. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Guard Your Heart from Idols.
We thank you, God, for the liberty that you have given to us, Lord God, to gather. We thank you for the freedom that we have, oh God. We thank you, Father, for everything that you are doing for your people. We thank you, God, for salvation. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for encouraging us today. We thank you that the Spirit of God is with us. We thank you for your manifested presence, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, you know what your people stand in need of today. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord God, already we ask you, Lord, hallelujah, to bring the encouragement that's needed. Father God, healing that's needed, the edification that's needed on today. In the name of Jesus, we bind every wicked spirit of the enemy now. We thank you, God, that Dio Shanda Baha, Ekindi Dio Suruba Sede, Meku Laba Sanda Baha, Ekundia Masekele Bosoto, Lendo She Labaha. And God, you're pulling down strongholds even now. Pull down walls even now, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to abort every edict of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that your word declares one can put 1,000 to flight and 10,000. And God, there's many, many more than that on this line right now. So God, we know, hallelujah, that you are fighting for us, your people. You are warring. The angels are even warring for us today. And we thank you for that now. So God, have your way. Let your perfect complete and whole will be done. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for your word, that it will go forth and minister right into the lives of the men and women of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jerry today. Thank you, God, for what you're doing for her. Bless her today. Minister through her, oh God. And our speakers this evening, touch them even now. Refresh them as well. Oh God, pour in to your people. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you now. Hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God. Yes, we just want to thank you. Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus.
You have been good to us. You've been good to us. Oh, God. Praise you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making death behave. Thank you, Father, for arresting the spirit of death. We thank you now for putting out even premature death in Jesus' name. We speak the life of God today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you today. Praise the Lord. You know what? There is an atmosphere of praise. Amen. That when you praise him, you know what he does? He comes and inhabits. He dwells with us.
Yes,
he'll sit with you. He'll commune with you. Yes. And that's what I believe the Lord wants to do with you today, is just let you know how much he loves you and how much he cares. So I pray today you'll open up and receive that God has for you.
Yes.
And right now we want to hear from our president. Amen. Brother Merle, God bless you, sir.
Thank you. God bless you. I want to welcome Jerry. I want to welcome everybody that is online today. Jerry, we love you. And we've
got a beautiful
face. And one of these days,
so sweet.
Coming shortly, we're going to be face to face again. Lake Hamilton was put there for one reason and one reason only, to do the will of God.
Yes, yes.
The parents started it, and God laid out the whole thing, and they kept what God had told them to do.
Yes, and they did.
Barbara and I, Patty and Kevin, and everyone that comes here, we continue what God has started there.
Amen. Amen.
God has always taken care of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Never been there for money, for cars, for houses, for mansions. We're there to do God's will.
Amen.
And what He has called us for.
Amen.
So we come there to be set free and cleansed and go away cleansed and praising God.
Amen.
From Lake Hamilton.
Amen.
Anyway, I welcome you, Jerry. We have missed you so much.
Missed you too.
And I just want to say one more thing, because Jerry lives close to Dallas and she lives in Texas. And I don't know how many people are online from Texas, but I'm telling everybody to pray for Texas.
Amen.
The enemy is out to take Texas into his camp. But we will not allow that to happen.
No.
There are many people that have come there from California and brought their socialist ways into Texas.
Yes.
But this, by prayer and coming against them and coming against what they're trying to do, God will drive that spirit out of there.
Yes.
Jezebel and Baal have entered into a lot of our churches.
Amen.
God is in right now cleansing our churches in America.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
We will not allow Texas to be taken by these evil people.
That's right.
So I just ask everybody every day, pray for Texas. Pray for the leaders there in Texas that are fighting against. Pray for the churches in Texas that their leaders will wake up and say, whoa, wait a minute. Something's going on here that's against God's will. And start speaking out.
That's right.
Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Love you. Miss you.
I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, we're going to share a song at this time. And when we're done with the song, you will be in the hands of Jerry McGee. Jerry McGee is
the Lord.
Texas, of course. Praise the Lord. And we are excited about the word of the Lord that will come through Mama Jerry. I call her Mama Jerry.
That's okay. I'm honored.
Amen. Yeah. She's a great inspiration. And I just want to say, Sister Jerry, I love you so much. And since I have known you, you have been so good to share the word. And it has inspired me to get closer to the Lord. And to deepen my relationship with the Lord Jesus. And we do thank God for you, woman of God. And we pray that the Lord will bless you, that He'll minister into your life even the more as you share the word
thank
of God.
So
amen. God bless you, Jerry.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be back with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Pretty soon we're going to be all back there in the physical. And so I just want to welcome you. Thank you for listening. Well, this morning I'm going to teach a message that maybe not be too popular, but it's why I didn't fear COVID. It's why I don't worry about getting sick, because the scripture says that sickness is a curse, and a curse without a cause cannot lie. So even if I got it, I'd say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? Did you know that everything you go through, God's got a lesson to teach you? He just uses suffering to align us with His word. And, you know, we have to be in God's word. And there's some people that are not even interested in God's word. So how can you align yourself with God's word if you're never in it or you never read it? And I'm to the place where I can't read anymore. And I guess if I had a request of anything, could I have anything in this world, it'd be that I could read my Bible again. But I have to listen to it. And so, I mean, I get to listen to it, I should say. Thank God I got good ears. Thank God for modern technology where you can listen to the word of God. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But this morning I want to teach a message on curses, and the title of the message is Guard Your Heart from Idols. 1 Corinthians 10:14 in the New American Standard Bible says, beloved, flee from idolatry. You know, an idol is anything that we love more than Jesus. It's a false god. It's anything that we let steal our love, our devotion, our worship, our time, our money. It can be an addiction, anything we're trusting in. It can be anything that steals our adoration, anything that rightfully belongs to God that we give to someone else or another thing. It could be a thing. It could be to an addiction. And I've had lots of addictions in my life, and praise God, today I can tell you I'm not addicted to anything. And I thank God for that. I've overcome a lot. I hear people say, well, you know, I'd like to go back and live my life over. Well, I wouldn't, because I've overcome so many things that I don't want to have to go back, because I might not make it. And so if you can say, I want to go back, it tells me you haven't overcome anything. Jesus died that we might be overcomers. And so he wants us to overcome. And the way we do that is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through what I'm going through? And then he shows you, you align your life with the word of God and you get more conformed into the image of Christ. But an idol is anything that we let steal our heart, our time, our devotion, our love. And the scripture says, in Exodus 20 verse 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Then it goes on to say, you're not to make for yourself a graven image in the form or likeness of anything creeping on the earth, anything on the earth or in the heaven. You're not to make an image in the form or a likeness of anything. And then he goes on to say that I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And so the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 27, verse 25, that we're not to bring a false god into our house. And, you know, while a lot of us think of idols, and they are, like we don't worship Buddha or Diana or Astarte or any of these false gods, Baphomet, we don't bow down to a statue, we fail to realize that an idol is anything you love more than Jesus. It can be an idea or a picture or an image in your mind. I used to have an image of what I thought I ought to look like to be acceptable, and I'd look in the mirror and it didn't measure up, and I'd take a nosedive, and that was an idol in my life. Praise God, that idol is gone in my life. But there was a time when I was tormented by that. Or we have images of what we think our life ought to be like, or how popular we need to be, or ideas that even vows are false gods. And God tells us not to bring a false god, an image, a statue, a likeness of anything into our house, because it brings demonic oppression. You know, Bill Gothard tells a story of a man who was very prosperous in the physical, and he made a lot of money, but all of a sudden his business started falling off, and he almost was having to declare bankruptcy. He went to a Bill Gothard seminar and learned about bringing false gods into your house, because Deuteronomy 27, 25, and 26 says that you're not to bring an abomination into your house unless you become under the curse. And you can read that. I encourage you to read all of that. But anyway, he heard that he wasn't supposed to bring a false god or image into his house. And the Lord showed him that he had gone to another country and brought home a lot of artifacts from other countries that really were idols and images of false gods. And he came home and destroyed all those things, got rid of them, and his business began to prosper. In Acts 19:19, it talks about the early church burned their artifacts and the gospel spread. So it actually can hinder. And, you know, parents that have a lot of kids have a lot of demonic toys. In fact, I think all of them, 99% of them are demonic, you know, stuffed animals and all kinds of things. I tell you, the enemy has an agenda to destroy our children. And so even some of the games that they play, they have to take on the characters of whatever character is played. And that's demonic. The enemy's trying to destroy our children. And But in Deuteronomy 27, 25, and 26, it says, don't bring an abomination into your house unless you receive the curse. There's severe consequences to worship in false gods. And, you know, a lot of times we blame the consequences on the devil when the God's the one that's allowing it. He uses the enemy to discipline you when you get out of line. And behind all sickness and all our need for deliverance is just a need for repentance. Really, deliverance is just repentance. James 4:7 says, give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. I've discovered the minute you repent, the devil goes and I don't even have to tell him to go. The minute I say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? And then I let go of it and I align my life with the word of God. The enemy leaves. And so there's severe consequences for not obeying the word of God. Exodus 32:35, you know, the children of Israel, it says that God judged them, that God smote them because of what they did with the golden calf that Aaron had made. You know, the story about how the children of Israel, Aaron built the golden calf and they began to worship it. And it said that God smote them. Now today, a lot of people would say, well, the devil really attacked me. No, God smote them. And that word in the Hebrew means that God struck them with a plague. And, you know, anytime we worship a false god, we worship the beast. You either worship God or you worship the beast. Look in Revelation 19 look up the words on the beast, worshiping the beast. There's torment. There's plagues that God pours out. There's pain that causes you to gnaw your tongue from pain because of worshiping the beast. Anytime you don't worship God, you worship the beast. You know, a lot of things come in childhood through childhood trauma. We don't know we can go to God, so we turn to a false god, a vow we make ourselves, and that vow becomes the false god. You know, if you don't go to God in your pain, you're turning to something else. And that something else is why we are angry and bitter and fearful and hurt or in pain. But praise God, God has an answer. As we align our life with the word of God, then God solves our problems. He is a problem-solving God. He has the answer to every problem you go through, but it's on the condition that you align yourself with the word of God. And if you don't know the word of God, how can you align yourself? You know, I know people that have terrible problems, but they're not in the word of God. They don't even have an interest in the word of God. And so you can't align yourself. And so let me tell you, you'll be stuck in your problems until you align yourself with the word of God. And I'm so thankful that God has taught me a little bit about repentance. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. It's every time you have a problem, you need to go to God and say, Lord, what is it? What are you trying to teach me through this problem? And you know, when we have fear, it's idolatry. When we have anger, it's idolatry. In fact, 1 Samuel 15:23 says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and all iniquity is as idolatry. So anytime we disobey the word of God, we're in rebellion, and that's the same as witchcraft. And so as we align our life with the word of God, God is a problem-solving God. He wants to solve your problems. He has the answer, not an answer. He has the answer for everything you go through. In Deuteronomy 32, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but in Deuteronomy 32, it says that Jezreel, which is in the Hebrew, means the people of God. They grew fat, means they became, their heart became so hard that they couldn't hear God. And they produced from the flesh. And it says that Jezreel grew fat and they kicked and they began to worship false gods. And then God gets angry and turns them over to jealousy. He turns them over to anger. He turns them over to terror, T-E-R-R-O-R, to the creeping things of the dust. And so you see, anger, jealousy, fear, terror is a fruit of idolatry. And so we allow anger. We think, well, you know, it's okay to have a little anger. Listen, the Lord has shown me, and I'm so thankful, I don't allow anger or bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness or hurt or depression. You know, I do what Abraham did Isaac. I just let it go. Had God told Abraham, take it up the mountain, take your only son up the mountain and put a knife to him. And so we take these idols up the mountain and put a knife to them and let, and that's the perfect love that casts out fear. That's saying, God, I trust you so much with my life. You know what I need, when I need it, if I need it, when to give it to me. If my family doesn't treat me right, or I'm thinking they should do certain things, I just let it go. Jesus said in John 12, if you let go of your life, you find it, but you hold on to your life and you lose it. So I don't allow those things. Do I ever get angry? Yes, I do, but I don't let the sun go down on it, and I deal with it quickly. I don't like stuff piled up on me. And so if there's a fear, I take it up the mountain. Lord, if that would glorify you the most for that or this or that to happen, so be it. If it would glorify you the most for the whole world to reject me, so be it. Every place that hurts me or lets go. And I can tell you today, I have no fear, no anger, no bitterness, no resentment, because I let it go. Because Jesus said, let go of your life lest you find it. It goes on to say, some men came to see Jesus, and one of the disciples told Jesus, he said, well, you want to see Jesus? In John 12, I believe it's 12:24, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So as we die, we produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. And as we let it go, we find our life. And we have to do that. I'm a work in progress. Have I arrived? No, I have not. I still, people that know me know that I have not arrived. But when I'm aware of sin, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to repent. And I'm going to let it go.
Yes,
sir. I'm not going to hold on to it. And so in Deuteronomy 32, it goes on to say that Jezreel produced, he was from the wrong vine. Jesus is the true vine, but Jezreel, the people that worship idols, have another vine, and it's the vine of Sodom, and it produces Galatians 5:19, the fruit of the flesh. God says if we live after the flesh, we'll die. It goes on to say that if we walk in the spirit, it will deliver us from the flesh. And it goes on to say that the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do what you please. And then it goes on and lists the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Thank you, Heidi. Heidi is my eyes. I mean, Jesus is my eyes, but she's such a blessing because she reads my mail. She does my checkbook because I can't read my writing anymore. So I thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord I can see how to walk and I can see y'all. Praise God that I'm overcoming. I have overcome in Christ Jesus, but I'm a work in progress. Amen. Anyway, but Jezreel produced fruit of the vine of Sodom, which was the false vine, which really was Satan, because it produced the deeds of the flesh. When you live after the flesh, you produce the character and nature of Satan. When you live after the spirit, by dying to yourself, dying to your life, you produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the character and nature of Jesus. And so 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 14, now we're in the New Testament. For those of you who are listening that don't believe that Christians that even believe in the Old Testament, you know, they didn't even have the New Testament when the early disciples, they taught and read out of the Holy Spirit. I mean, out of the Old Testament. And the scripture says all scripture is given for reproof, correction. I can't quote this exactly, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully approved. I think it's something like that, but I think that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to look at it for the correct version. But 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 14, and I'm going to attempt to read this. and we're in the New Testament now. It says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers all passed through passed under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud. And all ate from the same spiritual food and drank from the same spiritual drink. And they drank from the rock that was following them, and the rock was Christ. And it goes on to say, Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened to them as an examples to us that we might not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, or some of them were, as it is written, the people all sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act sexually immorally as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Now it's amazing how many people are shacking up today thinking that they're okay. They're believers that claim they are. There's no sin that affects the body like sexual sin. And so it says 23,000 fell in one day. It says, nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the serpents. Nor let us grumble as some of them did. I mean, they were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. You know, that's very convicting, because how often we grumble. How often do we complain? God wants us to live a life of praise, and I'm sorry to say that I'm not praising God all the time like I should, and I really am striving to do that. It says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. And we're in the New Testament talking about something that happened to the children of Israel, but God said that was written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And that means until Jesus comes back. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. No, there's no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. And much of our problems today is rooted in our own idolatry of loving something else more than we love Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:5 says we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all our soul, and all of our spirit. And you know, God knows that when we obey him, he wants to bless us. He's jealous for a relationship with us. He's jealous for our fellowship. And as Deborah said earlier, God wants to talk to us. He wants to fellowship with us. And he's jealous, not because he's an evil God or because he's a sinful God, but because he knows that he will not violate his word. And the only way we're blessed is to obey his word. And, you know, curses are carried out by demons, and blessings are carried out by the holy angels. Deuteronomy 28, and this is listing the Bible curses and the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And this is really not taught today in the church, but this is why I was not afraid of COVID. This is the why that I didn't want to wear a mask, and I only wore one if I couldn't. I wanted to go in a store more than I wanted to wear a mask. But many times I waved them on and said, you know, no, don't wear one. But anyway, you know, for those of you who that feel like you had to obey the mask mandate, let me tell you something. Days are coming on this earth that if you're going to kowtow to the one world order now, what are you going to do if you face a firing squad, or you're going to be beheaded if you don't renounce Christ? If you're caving in now, you'll cave in then. So God says, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And so it's time that we stand up. We can either be a slave of the Lord, or we can be a slave of the devil. So you just choose, or a slave of the one world order. Now, I don't know what that means. That might mean prison. It might mean whatever. But it's time we stand up for God and for what's right. And so Deuteronomy 28:15 gives the blessings and the curses. And, you know, it says in the last chapter of Revelation that if you add to or take away from the word of God, every curse in the Bible is upon you. Many people think that Christians can't have curses. Well, Deuteronomy says sickness is a curse. Confusion is a curse. Tumors are a curse. And it goes on to name lots of curses. Well, we know that Christians can get sick. We know that Christians can have confusion. And so are you saying that you're not even saved? Because all of these curses can come upon us if you're saved or if you're lost. And so Deuteronomy 28:15, and I'm going to ask Deborah to read these for me and just maybe do one verse at a time, one scripture at a time, or yeah, one verse at a time. And by God's grace, I'm going to try to explain them. Well, first of all, it says, because of disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments, all these curses will come upon you. So he gives us the reason, because of disobedience. It can be a generational curse. The scripture says in Galatians that, you know, where it says Jesus Christ delivered us from the curse of the law. Before it says that, it says that cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the law. So it says, and I think it's in 1 Corinthians, the last verse of 1 Corinthians, that if anybody does not love the Lord, he's accursed. And so Christians can be under a curse. Demons carry out the curses. Holy angels carry out the blessings. And so, Deborah, I'm going to ask you to read this, and by God's grace, I'm going to attempt to explain each verse.
Deuteronomy.
Okay, in the New American Standard Bible.
Okay. First of all, I have some interference, so if everybody would mute for me. If you're not muted except Jerry, please mute. Okay. Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 15. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to be careful to follow all his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you.
Okay, so God says, if you don't obey all these curses, and she's fixing to name them one by one.
Cursed will you be in the city, and cursed will you be in the country.
That means wherever you go, you're going to be under a curse. So many times we think the grass is greener. It's greener over the septic tank. That's the only place. I used to have a ministry farm, and sometimes people would leave and they'd be angry. And one girl that lived out there that helped me, she said, well, wherever they go, they have to take themselves. And so that's true. So you'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Okay, continue, Deborah.
Cursed will be your basket and your kneading bowl.
That means your food supply, your pantry will be cursed. It means you'll have a lack.
Cursed okay. will be the children of your womb, the produce of your ground, the newborn of your herd, and the offspring of your flock.
So your children and your herds and your cattle and your animals will be cursed. You know, when we're born, because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers, we inherit demons that come down through the bloodline, through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. Because the scripture says he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And so, so a lot of things that go on in our life is a curse. I know the eye problems has been a generational curse in my family. And so, but praise God, because of the blood of Jesus, these curses can be broken. Okay, Deborah, go ahead.
Cursed will you be when you come in, and cursed will you be when you go out.
When you're outside, you're cursed. When you're inside, you're cursed.
Verse 20, the Lord will send against you curses, panic, and rebuke in everything you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have abandoned me.
So it goes on to say that the Lord's going to cause this, and we're blaming the devil for a lot of things that God's allowing. Just an example in John 15, where he says that God says he's the vine and we're the branches, and our Father is the vine dresser. And then it says, every tree that bears good fruit, he prunes. And we blame the pruning on the devil. And God is the one that prunes us to allow us to see that we have a problem so that we can align ourselves with the word of God. Okay?
The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has eliminated you from the land where you are entering
to take possession of it.
So God's going to make the plague cling to you. Okay.
The Lord will strike you.
Before that, it says, because you've forsaken me. Okay. So how can you forsake someone that you didn't claim to hold to? Okay. Go ahead.
The Lord will strike you with consumption, inflammation, fever, feverish heat, and with the sword, with blight, and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish.
Consumption is a wasting lung disease. Inflammation. Look how many people are going to the doctor for inflammation. Fiery heat, blight, mildew, escandida. I encourage you to look up these words, in the Hebrew. Can't remember all the definitions of it, but I know that consumption is a wasting lung disease. Can Christians get wasting lung diseases? They can. Okay, next one.
The heaven which is over you, your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you, iron.
Means your prayers won't be answered. Okay.
The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust from heaven. It shall come down on you until you are destroyed.
Have you ever lived in an area where it didn't rain? I know the times that it hasn't rained here in the summer. Thank God we get a lot of rain. But our road would be dusty. There'd be so much dust. And so God curses us with drought. Okay, continue.
The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, the festering rash, and with scabies, from which you cannot be healed.
Okay, you see the tumors and the... Are you reading from the New American Standard?
Yes, ma'am.
Huh, I never saw that. Okay. Okay, and notice it says... Read it again, Deborah.
The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, the festering rash, and with scabies, from which you cannot be healed.
Okay, so it says you cannot be healed. Well, you can if you're under the curse. So what if you go to the world for answers? All they can do is put a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem and help you hang in there and move it around, shift it around, cut it out. But something's popped up on my screen. Oh, there it's gone. Anyway, and so it says you cannot be healed. But if you go to the great physician and you find out why the curse has had a cause in your life, because Proverbs 26:2 says, a curse without a cause cannot lie. So if you find the cause of the curse, you can be healed because Jesus is the healer and he's the word of God. And as you align your life with the word of God, who is Jesus, healing can come. Okay, next. I don't know what keeps popping up here.
It's just it's a chat message.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was looking at you and I'm getting this
okay.
Chat.
Okay. It's okay. The Lord will strike you with insanity, blindness, and with confusion of mind.
Okay, you see mental illness, insanity of mind. Isaiah chapter 1, it says the whole head is sick from the sole of the foot to the top of the head because of rebellion. No one to press you out, bandage you, soften you with oil. So it's a curse of mental illness. I don't think that's the New American Standard. I think it's another standard version, but not the New American Standard. But that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. It just said New American Standard Bible. There is another version. And so it's an updated version and then the original version.
Okay.
And so yeah, it's, and I don't, because
no,
I don't know.
No problem. I'm the old version, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Keep reading. You're doing good.
Okay.
You're a blessing, Deborah.
Thank you.
I missed your beautiful voice and your wonderful prophecies.
Amen. Okay. Verse 29. And you will be groping about at noon, just as a person who is blind gropes in the darkness. And you will not be successful in your ways, but you will only be oppressed and robbed all the time with no one to save you.
Right. So I've certainly been under that curse. You'll grope in darkness, blindness. That's certainly been on my bloodline. And so I broke everything I know to do, but there's still something I'm not seeing. So I'm still asking God to show me. I'm not going to give up, but I believe that my greatest problem has been unbelief, and recently God delivered me from that. So hallelujah. Okay, so does it say that you'll only be robbed continually? Read that again, because I've lost my train of thought.
Verse 29, and you will be groping about at noon, just as a person who is blind gropes in the darkness, and you will not be successful in your ways, but you will only be oppressed and robbed all the time with no one to save you.
Right. You'll only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. I know people that are always blaming people for stealing from them, and it's just they're under a curse and they don't see it. And it says you'll grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. Well, at noontime is the brightest part of the day. And so you'll be groping at noontime. And I certainly can relate to some of those things, but thank God I can still walk. Thank God I can still jump on my trampoline. Thank God I can still see you. Hallelujah. Just need to read. Okay.
Verse 30. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit.
Okay, so you see that divorce is a curse, and I've gone through divorces, one divorce. And I tell you, if I had a choice between somebody divorcing me and blowing my brains out, I'd have said, shoot me. I remember saying, oh, Lord, I ask you to kill me. Take me out of this world. And then I said, well, Lord, if you're not going to kill me, kill him, because I don't want to be a divorcee. I didn't want to bring shame to the name of the Lord. But anyway, praise God. God worked good. God not allowed that in my life, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. So, you know, I said, well, Lord, I delight in you. I know that's the only thing I'm doing right, is I'm delighting in you. And, you know, back then I thought that meant get my husband back. But actually what I'm doing now is what God knew all along that I wanted to do. And he certainly doesn't believe in divorce. Okay, but that's a curse. Okay, and then it says you'll build a house and not live in it. So you lose your house. You'll plant a vineyard and you won't even eat the fruit off of it. So everything you eat, everything you do will be brought to naught. Okay, next one.
Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you, and you will not be restored to you. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you.
And so when you're under a curse, you don't have anyone to save you, because Jesus is your covenant partner and he's the one that saves you. But when you're under a curse, until you get out from under the curse, you have no one to save you. And that's really a picture of your stuff. You know, we don't have oxen. Most of us don't, or a sheep, or a donkey, or a herd. Some of us do, but most people live in the city and don't have all that. But it's just a picture of everything you have is going to be cursed. I remember when I first had built this ministry farm out here in East Texas, I put new trailers, new lamps, new bedspreads, planted a 90 orchard vineyard, built a drip system so that the trees would be, you know, watered. And people that moved out there, because they were under the curse, before you knew it, it looked like one person mowed the drip system in two. Another little person vacuumed up the dirt. I mean, it was like everything they touched was cursed. And so that's just kind of an example of when people live under the curse. Okay. Go ahead.
Verse 32, your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, but there will be nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. You know, I had two sons. My oldest son is a very, very godly man, my pastor. The second son, when he was 18 years old, he went to New York City and would live in a homosexual lifestyle, and my eyes yearned for him, and there's nothing I could do. See, that was a curse. Okay, go ahead.
A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually.
That's kind of like the further you go, the behinder you get. You ever heard that expression? Nothing works. Go ahead.
You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see.
Mental illness, insanity, anger. Okay.
The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head.
Can Christians have boils? They can. And does it go on to say, with none to save you, or you cannot be healed?
It just said, okay. The Lord will strike you on your knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed.
Right. But Jesus is the healer, but the world cannot heal anything. You know, I know people that are so medicated, that have so many physical problems, and they don't realize that the side effects of those medications are actually killing them. If it really worked, they wouldn't be sick. But just sick from the bottom of their toes to the top of their head. Okay, continue.
The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone.
Read that again. My mind got distracted.
The Lord will bring you and your king.
Okay, I know the rest of it. Okay, in other words, you can choose King Jesus, or you can choose another king, and God's going to set that king over you, and he will destroy you. Okay, continue.
You shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you.
You see, the Lord is the one that does the driving. And yes, to explain, you know, God's refuge is like a big umbrella. And when you're under that umbrella, you're protected. You step outside that umbrella, and the enemy can attack you outside of there. So when you're in God's refuge, you're protected. Amen. I think, read that again, Deborah, because I think I left out something.
Okay. Verse 37, you shall become a horror and a proverb and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you.
Okay, the next one. I believe it was the next verse.
Verse 38, you shall bring out much seed to the field, but no. You will gather in.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I thought I missed something.
Okay. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locust will consume it.
Eat up all your produce, the grasshopper, the cricket. I remember some years, I live on 116 acres, and I remember one year I looked out and there were frogs everywhere, and I thought, dear God, I'm under an Egyptian curse. So I got the Bible out and I pulled up all the scriptures on crickets, frogs, crickets, pestilence, all of those things. And I repented over every last one of them. And I tell you, I only saw one grasshopper last year. I've not even seen a grasshopper this year. But I broke those curses over the land. You know, this is just kind of a sideline, but when I moved out on this property, when I used to walk on the property before I bought it, I would hear birds singing and I would hear different things. And when I moved on the property, I couldn't hear any birds. And I built a house out in the woods and put a bird feeder up and not a bird came. And so I thought, what's wrong? And so one day some people, a couple ladies in a prayer group were praying together. And I said, it's really strange. I never see any birds on this land and I know they're out of here. I put up the bird feeders. And so one of the ladies did spiritual mapping and I don't know about that. She knew the lay of the land in Lindale, and another lady had a Cherokee Indian background. So we had a little ceremony out in the yard and we poured oil and I forgave the Indians and the Indians forgave the white people. And we had a little ceremony. The next morning I was sitting at my kitchen table and there were hundreds of birds all over my land. There were robins. I've only seen one robin other than that day. There were robins everywhere, woodpeckers, all kinds of birds everywhere. And then after a few weeks, they just started to dwindle. And so then one day I decided to pulled up all the scriptures on land, and I repented over people that had lived on the land, forefathers that had land, rented the land, leased the land, had lived on this land I lived on, repented over all of them, broke generational curses, and I've had birds ever since. Birds, and it's so wonderful to be able at my age to hear the birds sing, because my precious friend of 30 years, she couldn't hear the birds sing. And you don't realize what a gift that is to be able to have good hearing and be able to hear the birds sing. Okay. And you know, birds are always happy. Did you know that? They don't get like us. They're always happy. Okay. Deborah.
Verse 39, you shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you will neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will devour them.
The worm will devour them. And I can give you a praise at breaking curses off this land. This year I planted, I don't know why I planted 30 tomato plants, but my whole garden is full of tomato plants and everybody's being blessed. I've not put one bit of poison on them. I've not seen one bird or one bug or one worm. Didn't even fertilize them. And I get almost a half a bushel of tomatoes a week. So a lot of people are being blessed by tomatoes. Okay, next one. And that's not to say ha-ha, it's because you break the curses, things change. Okay?
You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you will not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off.
Okay, so your trees won't have any fruit on them.
You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity.
So our children go into captivity when we're under the curse.
The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground.
That's self-explanatory. The cricket's going to eat up everything you have.
Okay. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower.
We see that happening right here in America, don't we? God save America. Okay, continue.
He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail.
So you see, credit cards are a curse, and you'll be the tail instead of the head. You may want to be the head, but you'll always be the tail if you're under a curse. Continue.
So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you.
So you see all these curses come on you because you refuse to obey. Lord, give us a heart to repent quickly in Jesus' name.
They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever.
Okay. Sign and a wonder. You know, we should be doing signs and wonders, but this is going to be a sign and wonder on our children and our descendants. Okay.
Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you.
So you're going to serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things, and he'll put an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. You know, you can't break an iron yoke off, but you can break the yoke. Jesus says you can come unto him in Matthew 11 if you labor and are heavy laden, and he'll give you rest. And if you take his yoke on your neck, his yoke will break every other yoke. And that's a picture of coming under God's control. And so there's one of the necks. That's one of the roots to neck problems, having an iron yoke on your neck. You can't see it with the physical eyes, but in the spirit realm, if somebody could see you in the spirit realm, they would see you'd have an iron yoke on your neck. At the last time I taught this message in Duncanville, one of the ladies' neck was healed. She had an iron yoke on her neck. Okay, continue.
The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand.
So that's the picture, a picture of invasion of people. Maybe, you know, we hear about the Chinese owning lots of land here in Texas right near a military base. And praise God that Donald Trump made an executive order that anybody that messed with elections would lose all their possessions. So we're waiting for that day to happen. But go ahead. I forgot what
A nation of fierce countenance who will have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young.
Okay, just people that have no mercy. And that's just really a picture of the one world order, isn't it? Okay.
Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish.
They'll eat your food and consume what you've got.
It shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout your land. And it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land, which the Lord your God has given you.
It says it's going to consume you until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted in come down. And that's just really a picture of repentance, laying down your idols, laying down the things that you're trusting in. And so as long as we're trusting something else, we're under that curse. Okay?
Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and in the distress by which your enemy will oppress you.
Okay.
The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile toward his brother and toward the wife he cherishes and toward the rest of his children who remain.
Really, that's a that's a picture of how people come down into the worst degradation of the earth, where they even eat their own bodies. And I think Shannon was telling me that in some places they do that. They do that in Satanism. And they also, I think the next verse she's going to read talks about eating their own afterbirth. And they do that in Satanism. Go ahead.
So that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children, which he shall eat, since he has nothing else left during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you in all your towns.
Okay.
The refined and delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement shall be hostile toward the husband she cherishes and toward her son and daughter.
So women being hostile and men being hostile toward their wives and women being hostile toward their husbands. I remember a time when my kids were growing up and they were teenagers and we'd be sitting around the table and just the sound of their voices would make me want to go, ah! And that was just hostile. Praise God that's gone now, but it wasn't always that case. It was something that I overcame. Okay.
And toward her afterbirth, which issues from between her legs and toward her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of anything else. During the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you in your towns.
The enemy, the Satanists do that. Okay, continue.
If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sickness.
So God's, now who's going to do that? The Lord's going to bring it on you. You see why I wasn't afraid of COVID? Is the Lord's going to bring it on you. And God says a curse that I cause cannot lie. I love the scripture in Proverbs 16 that says, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So you don't have to fear physical enemies or spiritual enemies if your ways are pleasing the Lord. And if you're attacked, say, okay, God, there's something here you want to teach me. Just recently, I felt like I was catching a cold. And I felt like it was just allergy in the middle of the night. I thought, you know, I think I'm catching a cold. So for about an hour in the middle of the night, I started repenting. I said, okay, God, what have I done? And I started repenting. And this was on Sunday. And on Monday, I was 80% well. And on Tuesday, I was totally well, just through repentance. I never took an aspirin. I never took anything. I just took gas pills, just lining myself up with the word of God. You know, sometimes if I see something coming, maybe, you know, when a cold's coming or something, I see it coming and I just say, okay, God, what did I do? And then I start repenting and it just goes that way. And so this is why that I've not been afraid of COVID or plagues or all this stuff. Plagues are going to be poured out on those that worship the beast. And every place I have an idol, I'm worshiping the beast. Okay, continue.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.